the shepherds, you know, just looking after his sheep. And the main thing for me was to make sure to listen to those men that I take very seriously. Thank you, brother. With the council, in the sense of not jumping the gun and feeling, well, I need this, and casting the Holy Spirit aside. And to start now, I know we're going to use a few props today. And before we read and stand, we're going to use a few props today. And of course, you can see the sword. It's and I'm just using it. It doesn't matter if it's a Japanese sword, a katana, or that. I can put any sword up there for this lesson. But this object lesson really has a very serious spiritual lesson involved with it. I know that when I was called into the ministry and I was called to preach, the bed didn't shake, I didn't see lightning, nothing went on, but I knew when God started to deal with me. And I've never ever had a problem with understanding God speaking to me specifically through Scripture. Amen. What I've had problems with is not wanting to do it.
Amen.
Right? But the main thing is we're going to seek the Lord's guidance by these objects, and please just try to glean truth for your own personal life from this lesson. It's important, because the moment he asked me, I already knew. You can ask Jen. I already knew what God had put on my heart. And how many of you could raise your hands and say at one time or another you had a circumstance in your life where you said, I sure wish it went this way? Or you use the word wish. We all have. How about this? I wish they didn't have cancer. I wish my son didn't have pneumonia. I wish my daughter was not on drugs. I wish our church was growing. I wish there's a lot of wishes. I wish that my mom didn't die of cancer. That's not what I'm speaking about. We make that comment occasionally, and that comes up. But there's another group that want to wish life back to normal, and it doesn't work that way. You can wish all day long, and you can take, and I do, I think about a wand, a little magic wand that kids play with. And I think about how people use an invincible wand to try to wish things back to normal. To try to wish things to happen. I wish I could get a bigger house. I wish my ministry would be successful. I wish my husband would stop this. I wish my wife would start doing this. And that's where it stops. It stops with the wish. And honestly, it's ridiculous.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that occasionally I haven't said I wish. We've gotten past that. But I'm talking about repetitive thinking of wishing.
Amen.
Using an invincible wand and wishing. And you know from what you see up here, that's an extreme contrast. There is no similarity there. And as we stand and read God's Word, we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit versus a wishing wand. And you think about it. People want ministry to take effect in their personal life, in their family life, but they expect it to be done by magic.
Right.
And it does not work that way. And I tell people all the time with addiction, I'm like, listen, like, is there any easy way? I'm like, there's no such thing as easy.
Amen.
There isn't. There's no such thing as easy. It's not going to happen. Look at Brother Otis, and it's going to be so exciting to hear them next Sunday night. And I mean, it's just going to be awesome, because you know this, that store wasn't wished into being built.
Right.
His daughters and the circumstances down there weren't wished into what they represent now.
Amen.
You're talking major hard work.
Right.
And we want to remember that today. If you would, let's all stand and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read God's Word. All right, now listen, and remember this now, is the transparency that's needed individually is how you get dealt with by the Holy Spirit. And it can only happen if you're transparent and honest with yourself. So please keep that in mind, okay? And now let's start reading in verse 10 of chapter 6. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of" whose might? Somebody say it.
Yeah.
His might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? Stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now right from there, stay standing, go over to Hebrews. Go right from there over to Hebrews chapter 4. Just do it while you're standing there. If you can't stand, don't even sweat it. Just go ahead and sit on down. Don't even worry about it. God knows your heart, right?
Right.
All right, and really think about that. God knows your heart anyways, right? You can stand and wish you were asleep right now.
Right. Amen.
God knows your heart. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, this is one of the verses that revolutionized my life, because I know what it's like to be able to use a knife. I've taught men how to use knives. I know how to use a sword. But this verse right here, it just got a hold of me when I was first at the ranch. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now the last one, turn with me over to Revelation 1. We're going to do this standing today. Revelation chapter 1. Of course, our pastor's going over Revelation on Wednesdays. It's just a blessing. It's just an absolute blessing. Revelation 1:16, speaking about Jesus. 1:16 says, "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of the mouth went a sharp two-edged sword.
Amen.
And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Let's pray. Father, we come to you today, Lord, thanking you. Thanking you for you. Thanking you for loving us. Thanking you for understanding the frailty of man, which you made. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace, thought of in Sunday school, your redemptive power. We thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for our families, our personal families, our church families, our work families. Father, we just beg and ask that you would help us today draw from your word. And Lord, help us. Your word's quick and it cuts. Help us, Father.
Amen.
Help us allow you to do what you do best, spiritual surgery. In Jesus' name I pray. Say it.
Amen.
Thank you for staying standing. Gracie, come on up real quick. Just go ahead and hold it in your hand out just like this. Go ahead and hold it out there. Thanks, baby. All right. Which one's more threatening to you?
Right.
Which one?
Right.
Which one? Which one is more of a threat to you, physically speaking? That's right. Now, take it. Put your right hand on top. Put your back hand on the bottom. Put it right out in the middle like that. Which one would you not physically want to have pointed at you?
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
That is, that's right. But this morning, spiritually, which one do we need pointed at us?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
That's good.
All right, now listen, stay right there. It is our job, just like the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Can I allow her to go out in the garage and just say, "Here, Gracie, Have fun today.
Right.
Go out and play with your sister.
Right.
Go on out and have some fun. Can I do that? When Brother Otis and his daughters are in Mexico and that, and we're trying to deal with our families, we have VBS coming up. The Bible is preeminent in every way. But no matter what, can we expect them to know how to hold it, wield it, use it, without being properly taught?
That's good, bro. That's good.
Do you know that there are people that I have had come up to me and say they've worked with the katana, the sword, for years, and I'll tell them, hold on to it real quick. Go ahead and hold it. And just by the way they hold it, I can tell if they know what they're doing. Just like the way we know how people speak about the Word of God, use the Word of God to teach and to preach.
That's good, brother.
We can tell right away because we've been in the ministry for a while, because we've discerned, because we read and we study on the legitimacy of what's coming from behind that pulpit.
That's good.
Just like that.
Amen. That's right.
Is it self-exalting? Is
right.
it fleshful?
Amen.
Or is it spirit-wrought and spirit-made?
Right. Amen, brother.
And here's the catch. Thanks, Grace. You can go sit down for a second. Is you've got to learn how to hold it. You've got to learn what it is.
Right.
Men in Japan spend their entire life learning how to use this weapon. It's an act of their heritage. There's a lot that comes with this that I'm not going to get into because we want to talk about the Word of God.
Amen.
But the bottom line is, isn't it a shame that people can put such representation into something physically with forgetting about all that spiritually?
That's good, right?
They become a master swordsman, maybe a master sword maker, but die and go to a devil's hell.
Right. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, you think about that. Now you think about this. Think about what would happen if Pastor showed up every Sunday and Wednesday without his sword.
Right. That's good.
Think about people. I'm not talking about an occasional lapse. I've done that. I've shown up to teach Sunday school and forgot my Bible on the kitchen counter.
Amen.
But guess what? I never forgot it again. I sure as heck tried not to.
Amen.
But the bottom line is, how would you like to go? I think about Nathaniel. How would you like to go to battle with a guy that forgets his ammo and his gear?
Right.
How would you like to go out to the ministry and out into the jungle in areas of where his family is, expecting to go on a vacation?
Right.
Expecting to go down there and lay in the sun.
Right.
And never take the sword of the Spirit into those areas.
Yes.
And proclaim the Word.
Yes.
And the bottom line is, I'm going to ask you, when was the last time you picked yours up?
Right.
See, because I'm telling you, a lot of guys tell me they know how to use these things. And the moment I see them hold on to it, I can tell, yeah, they've held on to it once or twice, but that's about it.
Right.
Think about that biblically. Think about the biblical perspective of how often you pick up the sword. How in tune are you with it? Do you know its weight? Do you know what it can and can't do? I know what that can and can't do.
That's right, man.
Because of what it's done to my own life.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Now think about this aspect of it. It's not a toy. This is not a toy.
Amen.
The people treat this like a toy.
Right. Amen. That's good, brother.
Yeah. And it makes no sense to me. This is the real cutting factor of what really makes these changes in people's lives. And they treat it like a toy. The first thing you teach anybody about any weaponry is, it's not a toy, it's a tool. It can protect life and it can take life.
Amen.
And it has to be seriously, seriously looked at. The amazing thing about being acquainted with any weapon, this one in particular, a short dagger, whatever it is the better you get with it, it eventually becomes nothing but an extension of your arm. And my teachers, they were scared. It was unbelievable that way. Because it was like all it was a part of their arm. Why? Because of the familiarity. Because of the discipline. Because of the practice. Because of the repetitiveness of knowing it was important to them. May you put that into a spiritual sense with the Word of God.
Right.
You want its work done in your family? You know now that wishing it to happen is not going to happen, but you've got to pick it up. You've got to discipline yourself to read it. You've got to have a morning time, an evening time, a daytime. You've got to become disciplined. You've got to become a soldier for Christ.
Amen.
I have guys come to me all the time, and they want to learn martial arts. And then I think about my teachers on how you may end up just standing like this. Think about Dr. Wong. You may end up just standing like this for 6 months. And you're thinking, my gosh, am I going to learn anything new today? You know, it gets old. But what they're looking at, a deeper meaning. How about people that want to get into just the book of Revelation, but they don't want to know the simplicity of redemption?
Right.
Sanctification, deity, the virginity of Mary, the blood that shed, the simplicity of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now they can break down the book of Daniel, but they don't know anything about other things.
Right.
Be like knowing about the handle, but not knowing about any other part of it.
Right.
Now here's the other thing that's so amazing. You go into battle, you've got your sword, you have a man in front of you, you pull yours out, and he leaves his in. Who's going to win that one? You leave your sword in your sheath. It can't offensively help you. It can't offensively do anything for you if you only have it on the shelf at your house.
That's right. That's good, brother.
And you think about it. I mean, think about it in all aspects. Defensively and offensively, they work in such tight unison. You want a good offense, have a good defense. You want a good defense, have a good offense.
Amen.
Defensively, God's word is used to fend off Satan's attacks. God's word offensively helps destroy the enemy's what? Strategies. Strategies in what? Getting your kids strung out. Getting you out of church because your feelings get hurt.
Right.
My goodness gracious. Things go on. Things come up. You may not know the reason why it's going on. But you know what? We can tell right away who's been in the word and who isn't. Because of how they complain and what gets them off track. And it's ridiculous!
Right. Amen.
I mean, it's wrong. Because if something little can get you so far off track that now you're just mad as can be, what are you going to do when something really big occurs? If something is little, it's just something. How about me not shaking your hand?
Right.
I forget. Something really minute is all a part of a strategy to get you to get your eyes off of Jesus during the service. So while you sit there, all you do is think about, I don't know why, I'm just... And he's preaching and the sword's going out. You think about it, that Holy Spirit goes row to row. And as it goes, I'll do this invisibly. And it goes by, it's hacking. It's doing work.
Amen. Yes, that's right, amen. It's good.
And it's cutting either way.
Yes, amen.
The sad reality is if you pull that sword out and you stick somebody, 911's getting called, and there's going to be blood everywhere. I know what it's like to be in forward areas and see men shot and stabbed. It's bad. And a mess occurs. But you think about how we have that happen to us spiritually, week in and out in the pew. And you know what we do? We allow the hardness of our heart to bandage those wounds up that need to be open to bleed. Because when they bleed, they get you in a place where you have to, man, you want to run out of your own energy and let God's energy move in. You want to allow that cut to take place. Because when that cut comes, there's healing through the power and blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's not going to cut you and then leave you on the side of the road. like the world will do physically.
Amen. Yes, that's good, brother.
He's not going to stick you like my friend's being stuck and then left on the side of a building to die. He's going to do spiritual surgery, and why he does it, he's going to give you the antidote at the same time. But you can't get it if you don't come, if you don't respond to it.
Right. Amen.
And you know this. We all we can do is proclaim the sword. Put it out there and let the Spirit do its thing. And people don't want to get right. You think about what some of you have seen us go through in the last 3 years. We've had to do everything to stay right.
Right.
You have people that don't like you for no reason. You have people that are against you. You have stuff go on left and right. And it takes discipline to stay in the Word, to take counsel when I need to have Him tell me, Larry, you need to do this, not this. Or my wife when she says, Larry, you've got to stop thinking that way. It's my job to be not only respectful, but receptive and be like, yeah, you're right. And then you get in the Word of God and He starts doing that spiritual cutting.
Yes.
And hacking. And stabbing. And here's the catch is, when we want you all to come to church and all that, it's not to control you. It's not to do that. It's because we know the benefits of what it's done in our lives.
Amen.
It's not to get you accountable so we can ask, where have you been? You know what I'm saying? But I also know this is, just like I talked to a dear friend of mine a few minutes ago is, there are people that sit in this church that they'd be better off staying at home.
Yeah, that's right.
My goodness. And you think about that. You come in and all you are is a hindrance.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of just getting right. And that. So let's say a dear brother or a sister can't make it here every Sunday. And then they can finally come once in a while. You know, to go up and be like, where have you been? Instead of loving people, showing them Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He came to seek and save that which was lost.
Amen.
He doesn't beat people up. He saves people and rescues them.
Amen.
That's why half the people have such a hard time now even coming to church. Because they've dealt with things that are so evil and wicked.
Yes.
And we have our work cut out for us.
Yes.
Because our job is to make sure to use this sword in a proper way.
Amen.
Because you can use it to defend, you can use it to protect, or you can use it to kill somebody who's out of church right now who's already been stuck.
That's right, brother. Amen. That's good for
you. And you hurt them.
Yes.
People, I mean, come on now.
That's good.
And it is so serious because I'm telling you right now is we have work to do.
Amen. That's good, brother. Yes.
The thing that people don't like about the sword of the Spirit is, now I can tell you this physically, from being stuck, no one wants to see their own insides.
Yeah. Right. That's good.
But I'm going to tell you this is spiritually speaking, people don't want to see their insides even to themselves. They'll deny it. And do you want to know why? Because of their shallow beliefs and their false intentions.
Right.
That's why people don't like the kind of preaching that Pastor Jeff Brown does, because it exposes things about all of us. We're all the same. None of us are better. You know what I'm saying? And look, I get fed up with it because people are judged in ways they have no business being judged and dealt with. My gosh, if you have somebody that is burdening you, then you need to pray for them. But to judge him and say, well, you know, he's dressed in this way or he looks this way and that. God's the cleaner-upper of people's lives.
Right.
God's the one that cuts sin out of people's lives. God's the one that cuts selfishness out of lives.
Amen. Right. That's good.
Amen.
And here's the catch is, what do? We tell the girls, go play.
Right.
You know, go let your Sunday school teach you everything you need to know.
Right. That's good, brother.
And the bottom line is this, it's my job to show my daughter how to protect herself.
Yes.
That'd be like me sending her to some karate instructor instead of teaching her myself. You guys would be like, what?
Right.
And think about that. It's just like our job, just like your job in Mexico, and that is to bring them up. Bring those natives up so they can eventually do great work within their own people,
yes, right?
And it's serious business. And I got to tell you, is I'm proud of this church, because I'll tell you, we've got a lot of work to do, and we've got a lot that we can accomplish for the honor and glory of Jesus. But as things start getting introduced, just like the PowerPoint and that. I mean, stuff like that, that's not meant to become a contemporary church.
Right. Amen. That's right.
That's meant to help. Just like his handout that's going to go, that's in the bulletin now. You just build a folder of that. That's called ammo, man.
Right.
That's called knowledge.
Amen.
And that knowledge can work wonders. Because why? It's the Word of God.
Amen.
I want to read a few things about the Word of God. And I want you to really think about this now. And you guys can take this down if you've got a pen. The Word of God is mighty in its influence. It's a devouring flame. Jeremiah 5:14 says, "Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them." I have people come up to me sometimes, and they'll say, "Keep the fire, Larry." I love that. Because the world, the flesh, and Satan want to extinguish our fire. They want our fire to be totally burned out. Put out, burn out, and you're out.
Right.
They want that for every one of us in here. Out for good. Out or religious.
Right. That's good, brother. Right. That's good. Yep.
It's a crushing hammer. Jeremiah 23:29. It is not my word. It is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rocks in pieces. The one thing about addiction is parents become their own kids' worst enemies sometimes. Sometimes you got to just turn them over to the Lord. And if that means burying them, you may have to bury them.
Right.
We don't want that. But I'm telling you this right now is people have to, they have to do it on their own at times, man. They have to get to their bottom. And when parents mean well, but they pacify them, it keeps them from getting to that point of really being broken and finally looking up. Now, I'm not telling you that's easy to do. It's not easy to do. But the bottom line is what you become is a codependent and an enabler. And that I know a lot about.
Right. Amen.
Think about it. You've got a friend that you know is not doing right. Whatever. You tell them to do right, but you pacify their needs. You can become your own friend's biggest helper to stay wrong. And it's serious, because then you get the call like I did, sis. That friend of yours killed himself. And then a year later, another friend. And a year later, another friend. Until you've got so many, it can fill a calendar up.
Right.
You know, one of the things that I love when I'm able to do some of the work for Leroy and that, some of the painting for him and whatever. Honest money's money, right, guys?
Right.
That's right. And I'll tell you something, as we get talking about just sobriety and things going on, it makes you feel good.
Amen.
The thing with me is I treat every day of sobriety like my first, even though it's been over 20 years. And every time I pick up a weapon and I pick up the Word, I don't let my pride, oh, I've been saved 35, 40 years, keep me from maybe learning something simple from God's Word that maybe God's showing me for the first time. How can you do that? How can you draw a simple truth if you think you know it all? It's a life-giving force of Ezekiel 37:7. "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone." It's a saving power. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It is a defensive weapon. We spoke about that in Ephesians 6:17. It's a probing instrument. We spoke about that in Hebrews 4:12. The purifying force of the Word. Psalm 119:9. "Wherewith shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto according to what? Thy Word." You want to be cleansed? Listen to the Word.
Amen.
I will never forget being with Brother Patterson and Brother Melitillo's son and going up to the altar for the first time and being cleansed for things that I had done against my parents, things that I regretted, and God literally washing me clean of them. I'll never forget being cleansed, and I still can get cleansed, and I've been cleansed in this very church. It's like being broken. Psalm 51. You get broken more than once in life. Hopefully. But that cleansing power that takes effect in our lives, only the Word of God can do that. And I'm telling you, I know what it's like to come down burdened and bummed out because of one statement that was made that you said that you regretted saying. And God will get you cleaned up and make you strong enough to stand up again. That's the power of God, man.
Amen. Yes.
It is.
Amen.
John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 17:17, sanctify then thoroughly thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth. In obeying the truth. I hold my weapon. My teacher comes and says, no! You can't do it that way, do it this way. And I don't listen.
Right.
He will not go any further with the lesson
right.
until I get that part down solid.
Right.
And what we tend to do is forget that, and we start skipping around, and now you've got somebody that doesn't even know anything about the foundational truths of the gospel and Christianity,
right.
and now they're way down the road, and what they are basically
yeah.
is Christian babies at 30 some years of being saved.
Right. That's good, brother.
And it's not right. When we allow ourselves to be called to a higher position of status because of a position of a Sunday school teacher, whatever it may be, you need to understand that there's also special judgments for that, isn't there, Pastor? It's serious business. It's not a joke. People's lives and eternal securities are in jeopardy. Look, you know this, sis. It's just like when I saw your son. Imagine if I would have came up and he saw me and I just kind of browbeated him that day. Instead of loved on him and hugged him, we had a nice conversation. A sincere conversation because he knows I care. Just imagine if I would have rubbed him the wrong way due to my own selfishness, thinking, oh, he needs to just listen to me.
Right.
Or I'm just mad because he just needs to get right. You're breaking your parents' hearts. Don't you know that? Oh, that's what he needs, right?
Right.
Think about that.
Right.
Remember, Satan is the master deceiver. He will take something out of your mouth, and by the time it gets into your child or your family member's head, he can mess it all up.
Right.
He's the master of it.
Amen.
It's written with purpose. John 20:31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. It gives hope. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we may through patience and comfort of Scripture might have hope. All I want to suggest is, as we get close to closing is, and it's very, very serious to me, is do you read? Do you read the Bible with purpose? It doesn't matter how much you read. It just matters that you read. You can read one verse. You can read whatever you need to do. But do you do it? And you know what I'm saying? Because I'm telling you, church membership and reading are two different things.
Amen.
Yeah. I could be a coach and not be able to be here on Sunday. Now, I'm not into that. Don't get me wrong. But let me tell you something is I've seen coaches lead their entire teams to the Lord and then reemphasize to them that someday they need to be in church and explain what he's doing and how he... You know what I'm saying? Think about that now. Last but not least... A soldier in the wrong frame of mind is a sitting duck. And here's the catch is, as I do it with guys and I fight, they'll get in front of you, you can see it on them. They get hesitant because they're trying to read my motions so much, they're froze up. And guess what happens? They get smashed. You know why? Because you can't freeze up in the middle of a battle. When somebody's in front of you, you got to deal with them. And the bottom line is freezing up, everybody goes through it. But you got to work your way through that through maturity so you don't freeze up anymore. Ever freeze up when somebody's asked you a biblical question?
Right, that's good.
Ever freeze up sometime when somebody asks you something and you don't know how to answer? And the one thing I can tell you firsthand is what you need to do is just be a grown adult and say, listen, I don't know the answer, but I can find it for you. Because answering the wrong way is just like coming in negligently, going for the wrong attack and ending up cut.
Right.
The bottom line is I tell guys all the time that come to me because they've had the crud scared out of them. And I'm like, listen, you can work through that. It just takes discipline and time. And I want to tell you something right now is remember, your frame of mind is everything this morning. How you think is what wields the weapon. How you think is how you respond to those counterattacks. How you think, just like that inmate this week, is how you keep yourself alive, your family alive. We are in a war in the last days of this planet. We may be the ones that actually see the taking out of the church.
Right.
We may witness that.
That's right.
Our generation.
Yes, amen.
I'm going to tell you right now is when we come here, if somebody says something, does something, something odd happens, we owe it to ourselves to humble ourselves and just move forward with the spirit of just being involved with Christ. Because I'm telling you, if you don't, you're in trouble. And remember this, we all have been hindrances, maybe to our family members, maybe to our kids. We are not perfect parents and we're not perfect people. The main thing though is when I have my when I'm training and I make a mistake and I pay a price and I get hurt, my job is to learn from it. So it doesn't happen again. Right? But don't think for a second that if you fail, you're done.
Right.
Just get up off your feet, stand, pick up your belt. It's just like in warfare. If you're able to get back up, get up.
Amen.
Strap it back on and head back into battle.
Amen.
That's good, brother. Yes.
We don't wear the flag of white.
Right. Amen.
We wear the flag that represents the United States of America, the Christian flag, and we ought to be proud of it. And we ought to do something about it.
Yes.
My goodness gracious, kids are dying left and right. Things are going to, it's bad. And we wish it to be better. And we won't do what it takes to step up, go with a little less sleep, and get regimented, get disciplined, do what we need to do to smash it.
Amen.
Because if we don't smash it, we will be smashed.
Amen. Yes, that's right. That's good.
Period. And in the end, you will stand before Him, and you will have no one, and nothing will be used as an excuse. You will answer for it.
Amen.
But when He knows the intent of your heart, man, I blew it. I shouldn't have said that to Gracie. Forgive me, Father. And then you apologize. I shouldn't have said that to Jen. And you get broken, and you ask forgiveness. They always forgive me, just like I should them. That's where real Christianity's in the making right there.
Amen.
You get to where you can take things and care of at home. It gets better here in this home, doesn't it?
Amen.
We know what it says in Timothy. You better take care of your family first. What good am I if my family's a mess, but yet I try to tell you how to live? We have a responsibility, and I'm so glad that we sit under someone that takes. You know what I appreciate about him? He's so sincere and so serious. He wants everybody to be involved and happy, and he doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings, do anything. I mean, come on! And what you do to that is you let him run with it.
Amen.
Have faith in God first.
Amen.
In your pastor. Have faith. Get behind it.
Amen.
As we have the invitation today, all I'm going to do is ask you. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands if you have been treating the Word of God right or wrong. Light or heavy, discipline or none. And I'm going to leave it completely open. And if you're serious, you need to come down and you need to rededicate yourself on how you handle this weapon.
Amen.
And how often it comes out.
Right.
Because it's not a toy.
Right. Amen. That's right, brother.
And today's the day where you can treat the Word of God for the first time in your life in a way that maybe you never have before, especially for you teens. I mean, you think about it now. Teenagers are dropping dead left and right around you guys. Am I right? It's serious business. Everybody bow your head, shut your eyes.